going to gavel in and convene the meeting of the House Special Committee on Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism. It's 11:02 a.m. on Thursday, March 14th. We have a quorum with four members present, Representative Tuck, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Rivak, and myself, Chair Hannon. Before we begin, I'd like to thank Robert Montenegro of the House Records Office and Madison Truitt from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. This is the first committee meeting we've had, and I'd like to welcome you all as members of the Special Committee on Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism to the 31st Alaska Legislature. Our meetings will be held in this room, 124, on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. To help us with this, my staff, Donna Fox Page, will be our committee aide. Please feel free to contact with any questions regarding committee business. Please ensure that any notes are passed through her, and ensure that your cell phones are silenced for the duration of the meeting. Our first and only order of business today is the confirmation hearing. Speaker Edgman has referred Commissioner Designee for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, Ms. Julie Anderson, to this committee for review. Members have received the appointee's resume, and she is present and will testify in person. So, Ms. Anderson, if you would like to join us at the table and put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Julie Anderson, Commissioner Designee for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I want to thank the committee for your time in visiting with me individually and for this hearing today. I also want to express my appreciation to Governor Dunleavy for his confidence in choosing me for this position. Since we have met individually and spent time together, I will abbreviate my personal history and put just a few details on the record. I am of Athabascan descent on my father's side, and my mother's grandparents moved to Eagle in 1898, where my mother resides today. I grew up all over the interior, worked pipeline construction and out of high school, later went to college. Beyond my life experiences, my education includes a bachelor's degree from business in the University of Alaska Fairbanks and a master's from the Thunderbird School of Global Management. I also obtained certification as an economic development professional. As to my career, in the mid-90s, I worked to implement the Community Development Quota Program. I also worked for Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, managing a team of employees and contractors to successfully deliver contractor management, health, safety, and environment functions, supply chain functions, facilities, aviation, and crisis management operations. Following my time there, I worked for the Alaska Energy Authority on the Susitna-Watonna Hydro Project. Having worked both in DCRA and AEA and worked with a variety of economic development efforts, I have a good working knowledge of the departments, its divisions, and programs, but have much more to learn. I care deeply about the future of the state, and I look forward to working with you and the administration to create economic development for future generations. The governor has assembled an outstanding, diverse cabinet, and I'm honored to be part of it. Which brings me to my division, my vision for our department. To create economic opportunity requires bringing fresh ideas and new perspectives to both our role in economic development and in administering the statutes that the legislature has given us to implement. One of our top goals is to encourage new investment in the state and grow our economy by repealing unnecessary regulatory burdens, by not increasing taxes, and by creating stability. We intend to strengthen key industries while supporting the free enterprise system, building a diverse economy through business assistance, financing, promotion, and public policy. At the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, we are working aggressively to break out of government silos and make sure our employees and divisions are pulling together for Alaskans. We are looking at opportunities to modernize, use existing data, and work smarter. An example is an effort underway to link the new community database online in the Division of Community and Regional Affairs with a whole host of other data on business licensing, land ownership, resources, and economic development to help provide region-specific information for those looking to invest in Alaska. There is a presentation on this database in House Community and Regional Affairs scheduled for Tuesday, March 26th at 8 a.m. It's a very neat tool that they've just developed, so I encourage you to attend. We are also intensely focused on jobs and capital. It takes investment to generate jobs, and jobs are what generate healthy people and healthy communities. We are taking a deep look at what helps or hinders investment that creates jobs across everything that we do. We need to focus on Alaska's competitive advantages, reduce barriers, and let industry know that Alaska is open for business. We've already met with dozens of local venture capital experts, business owners, and industry leaders to explore ways in which the department can help foster Alaska's growth. We are listening to suggestions and seeking valuable ideas to implement as quickly as possible. Additionally, our department is committed to doing a better job administering the statutes that the legislature has given us to implement. We've reviewed thousands of pages of statutes and regulations with an eye to reducing burdens on citizens and businesses. We realize that a healthy regulatory environment is necessary for a strong economy. Regulation that is reasonable, balanced, and efficient is my solution. We must strike the proper balance between economic development, public safety, and protection. We're actively reviewing professional licensing requirements and the best way to fulfill our duty to protect Alaskans while trying to lighten requirements that are barriers to growth. And we continue to work to find this kind of balance across our programs, and we are critically looking at licensing to see if any of them have outlived their usefulness and for ways to modernize, digitize, and streamline to make licensing easier to do here than any place else. At this point, it is imperative that we focus on our core services at the same time that we grow our economy. I'm excited to have the opportunity to help improve how the government encourages business development and delivers high-quality services more efficiently to Alaska's citizens and businesses. As I said in my opening, my background includes 15 years with Alyeska Pipeline, running my own business, time with working on the Susitna-Latana Hydro Project, and working with the CDQ program to put it in place for communities in Western Alaska. I know what Alaskans can do when they put their mind to it. And let me close with this. We all share these visuals, the world's fascinations with Alaska, our wild and scenic brand, our unparalleled beauty, our extensive coastline, our vast store of natural resources, our fish, our native cultures and corporations, and our center in trans-Pacific trade. Our airport is the fourth busiest cargo hub in the world. Our place is America's entry into the Arctic, and our robust public and private corporations and millions of acres of land. Visualize all of that, and then our people, and ask yourself, what is holding us back? It is truly our ability to visualize and build a better future for ourselves, our kids, and our grandkids. And I believe Alaskans are up to the challenge. I am looking forward to helping in this effort to provide efficient services to residents and businesses and doing what we can to improve the economy for generations to come. And thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Commissioner. Before I take questions, I'm gonna just make sure we put on the record that we were joined with Representative Christ Tompkins at 11:05 and Representative Fields at 11:07. And now, questions from the committee.
Thanks, Commissioner Anderson. I really admire your background and experience with Alyeska Pipeline, Doyon, and CDQ Group. So thanks for bringing that to state service. My question is with respect to licensing. You know, it's interesting. I know there are national groups out there that are lobbying to kind of wholesale do away with licensing requirements. Just the other day, I had a business owner from my district come in and ask for a new set of licensing requirement for interior designers. I know that in the last legislative session, the legislature worked with massage therapy establishments to strengthen licensing requirements to address human trafficking and make sure that illicit massage parlors are not diminishing business opportunities relative to law-abiding massage therapy establishments. So I guess I just want to get on the record that as you look at licensing, you consider the many cases where actually, businesses have come to us and said, we need these licensing requirements for consumer transparency, to ensure quality, and really to address some issues that, you know, at first glance, people wouldn't be aware of. I don't think most people are aware that the massage therapy industry came to the legislature and asked for those reforms, really to address a very serious problem of human trafficking. So I guess if you could just talk about how you'll make sure that you do review kind of what unintended consequences might be with respect to any proposed deregulations of licensure.
Thank you for that comment. Yes, the way we're approaching this review is to really look at the regulations through a risk-based lens to say, you know, what is the highest risk? Are we protecting consumers and doing what was intended through this type of regulation and statute, or is it impeding business with no real effect on protecting the consumer? So thank you for bringing that up. That is a lens we will be looking at all our reform.
Thank you. One follow-up. And I think another one additional lens I'd ask you to consider is the impact of wages. I know that plumbing and electrical licensing regulations certainly contribute to those being strong middle class jobs. And I just hope that as we look at licensure, we consider, you know, is this going to unintentionally change the marketplace for given occupations where they might no longer be occupations where someone could support his or her family? Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Through the chair. Yes, we will definitely be taking a look at that. This is the first time anyone has brought up the plumbing and electrical licenses, so I will find out more detail.
Great. And just to be clear, I think they're really important licensure programs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you. Two things. One, I would just like to go on record that I am a professional license holder, just so that there isn't any question of any ethical concerns. And then second, I was wondering if you have any information about current licensing requirements for pull tab operators or bingo operators, and maybe what kind of economic drivers those currently are. You might not have it off the top of your head, but.
Through the chair, thank you. No, I don't have that. That is the first time that's been brought up as well, but we can certainly look into it. To be honest, I don't know what their licensing requirements are. But we can certainly find out. I know they're pervasive throughout Alaska.
Representative Chris Tompkins.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My question relates to the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Fund. And can you share your vision for the future of the Revolving Loan Fund?
Through the chair, I believe that's a very important program that provides a great service to many rural Alaskans. Our intent is to continue to operate the Revolving Loan Fund program, and I think we have a great team managing it. We don't have any plans to do anything different in the future.
Follow-up question.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that answer. That's very helpful. And just to sort of clarify and further confirm, that'd be continued operation in the manner that the Revolving Loan Fund is currently managed within the Division of Investments.
No, to be honest, I have looked at, when I first came in, I looked at all the divisions and looked for areas where we could find efficiencies. So we're continuing to look at that, and we're analyzing how is that managed as best as it can be, as efficiently as it can be. We're doing that across all divisions, so, and we're just in the analysis stage right now.
Follow up? And I think I misstated myself. Division of Economic Development is where CFRLF is. What are the other options on the table for management of the CFRLF, if not present management within the agency?
Well, right now we haven't come to. We're just looking at how it's being managed now. We haven't come to any decisions. We're looking at. I know we've talked to different entities, but it's difficult with this program because the state has a responsibility. So as far as I know it, they're the only ones that can actually use the permits as collateral and a loan. So that creates some barriers. So right now all I can say is we're looking at it. We haven't come to any conclusion. We're really in the beginning stages. And is it, you know, it even comes down to, is it the staffing as it is appropriate? I mean, I can't answer that question. It's in the analysis stage. So.
If I may, Madam Chair, just a comment. Please consider me, at least, and my colleague to my left may also be interested, very, very interested in where you and the department, what your conclusions ends up being or what direction you might be taking as sort of things move forward and unfold.
Through the chair. Thank you. I will definitely do that.
Thank you. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In your opening statement, you were talking about having the fourth busiest airport million acres of land. And then you posed a question, but you kind of drifted off, so I didn't hear the question. Can you repeat what the question that we should all consider?
Well, I think the question that we can need to consider is, what can we do across the state? It wasn't the legislature specific, but across the state, can we envision a new future and put our efforts towards developing new ideas and new opportunities?
And so if I may, Madam Chair, please, do you mind sharing us what your economic vision is for the state of Alaska?
So I believe that we need to continue to support the industries that we have within the state. They're very valuable, provide great economic opportunities for the residents of the state, provide good revenue streams for the state of Alaska. But I also believe that we need to look at diversifying the economy and finding ways to bring new industry into the state. There's a lot of untapped areas that I've been talking to a lot of different people, whether it's expanding our agriculture base, whether it's bringing new technology operations into the state. One of the big impediments that we have is the lack of broadband internet access across the state. That's something that's going to be difficult to solve, but I think we need to address it. So we're looking at what we can do in those areas to help. Recently, the Apple came up to the state, and they were doing coding academies in three different communities. And of course, the biggest barrier there is if you want to have individual clusters of coding people, you know, in the different rural communities, they have to have access to the internet, high-speed access. So as we're looking to diversify the whole state and create a better economy in rural Alaska, we really need to address what those challenges are. So we're putting a team together to look at that and see what we can do. There'll be more information on that in the future.
Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So two things. I actually currently am working on an E-rate bill to raise the minimum megabyte per second from 10 megabytes per second to 25 megabytes per second. So that would bring more federal dollars to Alaska and increase internet speeds, especially in rural Alaska. And then second, you mentioned agriculture, and I agree 100% that we need to look at our agriculture as a way of new revenue. Someone was telling me that, you know, back at the beginning of statehood, it was like 60% or more of our food was grown here in the state, and now we're importing over 95%. So one of my concerns is, under the governor's current budget proposal, the agriculture department has been cut really drastically, and some of the key programs that we probably need to develop that further have been cut or reduced or eliminated completely. So I don't know if there's room under your department to maybe absorb some of that. And I don't know if it's something that we could move under as an economic driver, or if that's something that you guys could potentially look at.
Through the chair. Excellent idea. I will look at that because I believe, you know, having grew up here, and when I was young, everybody had large gardens in all the villages and all the communities, and now you're not seeing that so much, and I worry about food security for the state as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Reba.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair. To what extent do you think the cost of energy is a barrier to entry as it relates to economic diversification, value-added manufacturing, things like that, and what do you intend to do about the cost of energy, if anything, or what plans you might have or ideas?
Through the chair. Of course, that's a critical component to attracting industry. The cost of energy in the state is, as everyone knows, high in most regions. Through Alaska Energy Authority, they're continuing to look at ideas and ways to reduce the cost of energy. That's a primary focus. There's a lot of ideas, but nothing that I think is really coming through to actually lower the cost of energy in the near term. And that's something that we are also looking at. There's different people that have come to us with ideas on how they can implement new technology in the rural areas to reduce the cost of energy, and we're looking at that. It's a critical component, and I think everyone knows that, and we'll continue to work with all the departments to help reduce those costs. But as a specific, I don't have the magic bullet right now. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have passed legislation in the past to allow spouses of military members to be able to have their licenses reciprocated at least for a little short period before they can get their full licenses here in Alaska. Just making sure we're kind of behind on getting those reciprocal agreements or to somehow get compatibility from licenses or at least getting their credits to be able to so they can go on further. We had a hearing in Military and Veterans Affairs last year, and the department was trying to work on it, but it's been a long time. So just checking to see with the budget that the governor proposed, will you be able to, within that budget, be able to focus in and make sure that we're being able to take care of our military families when they come here to Alaska and be able to get, whether they're leaving the military and going into civilian work or the military spouses be able to get the proper licensing?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck. Yes, that's of high importance to the division right now. They are working to present changes to the regulations to allow universal temporary licensing, where if you have a license in another state, they bring that license to the division, they can issue a temporary license while the licensee is working on getting the extra requirements that the state requires. So that is something that the division director, Sarah Chambers, has been working diligently. She works with the military. She understands this is a critical issue, and we're doing everything we can to shorten that process. I believe the language now reads that they may issue the board may issue a temporary license. We're working to put it to its shell so that there's no ambiguity and no question.
And if I may, Madam Chair. Thank you. I know that the prior administration felt like they didn't have the resources. They felt restricted by not having the resources mm-hmm. to be able to focus in on that. I just want to make sure with this budget, you feel like you have the adequate resources, or will you need more resources in making that happen?
No, we feel we have the adequate resources. It's a priority, and they've already drafted the legislation to make that happen.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other questions from the committee? I'm going to ask one, and it links back to Representative Rasmussen's question on agriculture as an area of economic growth in Alaska's horizon. And Department of Natural Resources Division's budget cut out not only the Division of Ag, large funding, but also a pilot project to develop industrial hemp in Alaska. Do you see that as a potential area that Commerce and Economic Development and community could take on and oversee a pilot project for industrial hemp development in Alaska that many speculate could be a multi-million dollar industry for each and every producer in that growth industry?
Madam Chair, yes, I think that has a lot of opportunity there. I've been talking to various people. We do have some rich agriculture grant in the state, and I think we need to take advantage of it. I don't know anything about growing industrial hemp, but it doesn't appear that, other than maybe through regulation, but it doesn't appear there's high barriers to entry there. So we're definitely going to take a look at that and see what we can do to assist in that.
Yeah, there was legislation last year by Senator Hughes, and it had a pilot project for $10,000 to develop the pilot regs and sanction one pilot program. And that's been zeroed out, and I'm getting the sense that many of us view that that's a very small investment from the state that potentially has substantial returns, but without the pilot project and the initial regs to allow that pilot project, it's at a standoff. So that's very encouraging to hear that you could understand the potential economic return to the state for a new product or an old product being revived. I see a number of people online. They all appear to be part of your team. I don't know if you wanted any of them to testify, and I'm seeing no. Let me take a moment at, I'm gonna gavel out for a second. and take public testimony if there is anyone online that I am missing that wanted to testify on the commissioner designee's nomination, or if there's anyone in the room. Going once, twice, and there's nobody moving to testify, so I'm going to close public testimony. I'm going to give you the opportunity for any closing remarks or summation if you would like to take that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would like to thank all of you for taking time out to meet with me today. I think this topic, economic development and how we can help support the businesses in Alaska, is critical to our future. And I welcome any ideas and thoughts that you may have, any of your constituents' thoughts and ideas, please point them towards me, because it's going to take a large effort to help turn this ship around and help us improve our economy. So I would appreciate any ideas that you may have. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. And I'm going to see if any of the committee members have any final or summation statements.
No.
All right. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The House Special Committee on Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee and recommends that Julie Anderson's name be forwarded to a joint session of the House and the Senate for consideration for Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Signature of this committee report does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions for the purposes of this confirmation.
So Commissioner Designee Anderson's name will be forwarded to other committees and the joint session of the House and Senate committee members. Please stay after we adjourn to sign the committee confirmation report. Our next scheduled meeting is on Tuesday, March 19th, and it is not going to take place in order to allow members to continue to participate in the DCCED subcommittee budget closeout. And we are not clear if we will be meeting on Thursday the 21st, but we will have that announcement shortly by the end of the day at 4 p.m. when I have to have committee notices in. So with that, thank you all for joining us at our first Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism Committee. And we are adjourned at 11:29.